Hi, Steve Artimer here, and welcome to the New Life Live podcast. We hope to provide help and hope in your life through God's Word, counselors, and psychologists as we answer questions from listeners who call with the challenges of life. Let's go to today's episode. Hi there. Welcome to New Life Live. Glad you're here. And I know that Dr. Jill Hubbard is with me. And I think Becky Brown is on. Becky, are you there? If not,
yes,
you will
I
be.
Am.
Oh, there she is. Okay,
yay,
good.
Becky. I am here. Hi, Jill. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Becky.
Becky is our...
I'm in Texas.
You're just all over the place.
Yeah, you are. She does travel a lot.
Yes.
And she, you know, if you haven't heard, she is our newly elected president of New Life.
Yay.
And everybody has just responded amazingly. I mean, we've never announced somebody in a new position where people wept. They were so happy. I mean, it's amazing. But you deserve that. Anyway, and...
Thanks.
You know, I've mentioned this several times to folks, but I'm going to be taking a sabbatical. I've never done that in my 35 years here at New Life, and I suggested that I would do that to the board, and no one said it's a really bad idea. So I don't know if that's because they'd like me to go on sabbatical and get out of their hair, or maybe Becky asked them. Put me on sabbatical. But
no,
anyway,
it's well deserved, Steve. You've been leading us for so long, and we just want you to have some time to refresh. And we look forward to when you come back and tell us all the stories, because you will have them.
Yes.
People have said, "What are you going to do?" And I've said, "I'm not going to write, because that's kind of like work too. Mm-hmm. I'm going to play the ukulele, the guitar, take piano lessons. I'm going to just do fun things and a lot of painting, hopefully." So. We'll see what that does for the brain. And you might want to listen to the rest of the program just to detect whether or not my brain needs this kind of rest, and because it does. Now, let me mention this. January has been dubbed Divorce Month. There are a lot of very unhappy couples, and they just don't want to think about getting divorced during the holidays. But after they're over, they say, "Let's go for it." Well, don't do that. Invest in something other than a lawyer. Use that money for Intimacy and Marriage Weekend, because we have story after story of people that were set to divorce. They hated each other, and they are so, so glad that they didn't. And we're going to be doing the Intimacy and Marriage February 16th in Orange County. And, you know, I can think of a really great success story, but either of you have one that you recall from Intimacy and Marriage?
I mean, I have people that were separated, brink of divorce, wife had it, and I'm like, just go and try this. And they actually did three of our workshops, but Intimacy and Marriage, they moved back in together. And I see them at church, and they say, "You saved my marriage."
There you go.
I love that. You know, because it's practical too, mm-hmm. right, Jill? It's not only the emotional part, but we teach couples how to have those in-depth conversations. We teach them to understand what the real issue is, because your histories are colliding when you mm-hmm. get married. Yeah. And a lot of times we just think it's about who didn't take out the trash, and it builds on that. But we offer real, real help. And we're so excited for people to come and make a difference in their marriage.
1-800-NEW-LIFE to find out about Intimacy in Marriage. It is the weekend of right after Valentine's Day. Becky and I, she facilitated. I co-facilitated or detracted, one or the other. And there were couples in their group that I just thought it was literally hopeless at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And they had such dramatic transformations. I mean, it was so great to see up close and personal. It really does produce something that I don't think you can experience it from anything else. It's not your typical workshop. It's amazing. Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you want to be on the program now, 1-800-229-3000. We'll take a break. Come right back for more of New Life Live. Glad you're with us.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Before we talk with Karen from Boston, Massachusetts, I do want to mention that We've had the Lose It for Life program for years. It's how I kept 60 pounds off and still have it off, fortunately. And thousands of people have been helped by this, and we do have the early bird pricing. The date is January the 27th online. Don't miss it. If you want some great tips and hints on how to lose weight and keep it off, Lose It for Life. We do it one time a year. It's January the 27th. And we really deal with the why, the big old why. Why doesn't it come off, and why doesn't it stay off, and how did it get there in the first place? That's important. Well, let's go to Karen, Boston, Massachusetts, W-E-Z-E. Karen, welcome to New Life Live. Glad you've joined us today. And how could we help?
Thank you. So I guess the background is, the question is my son-in-law and my daughter, I guess, she diverts to him on everything. She thinks that's the Christian way. The man is the head of the household. And So I've been with my current husband and married for 23 years. Prior to that, I was married to my three children's father for 20 years, who is gay and is now married to his partner, Steve.
Okay.
So, you know, with any divorce, there was bumps and bruises and things like that. But, you know, everybody got over it, and the kids were teenagers. One was in college, and one was a junior in high school, one was a senior when we parted ways, and they wanted me to be happy, and I never really introduced them to anybody. Long story short, I ended up not ever wanting to get married again, but Roger has been a steady, consistent, sweet person that, you know, I'm married to, and we have
a wonderful
relationship.
What's the problem?
So the problem is, so we always, you know, in the beginning we split holidays and stuff like that. But then he started joining in once grandchildren started coming 8 years ago. Can I come over too? I want to see the babies. My daughters had a baby a day apart in 2016. Of course, my door has always been open. Anybody can come. You know, I mean, it just come in peace, you know?
Okay, and, so what happened that's a problem here?
So he's been coming and coming for 7.5 years. There'll be 8 in April. And then this past June, so 6 or 7 months ago, they were at our house for, I don't know, something, I forget what it was, and I think, I don't know, it was a get-together for some reason. Anyway, my husband said something to my oldest daughter. My oldest daughter and I kind of buck a little bit, but, I mean, we have a good relationship. I'm with her kids all the time, blah, blah, blah. Said something like, knock it off. You know, you're treating your mother with disrespect. That's rude. Stop it. You know, and she's like, I'm not. And she started arguing back a little bit. And he's like, you're being evil. Stop it. Or, you know, whatever the word was, he says it wasn't that. But my ex-husband said, I'm never going to be there again. He's a terrible, awful person. And God told me to walk away and never come back. You know, like stupid stuff. My ex comes from a very dysfunctional family with drug addiction, suicide, mental health issues. One person didn't talk to the other for years. He didn't talk to our son for 2 years.
So how do you think we might be able to help you here?
So this New Year's Day, we've always celebrated New Year's with all the kids, and he's always been welcome. But since that day in June when that happened at our house, he's been distant and won't come near our house. And says my now husband is evil and terrible, and he will not be a part of that, which is untrue. And, I mean, he's been a dedicated father, stepfather, and blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
So now, New Year's Day, we were planning to get together, as we always do, and he said, I don't want anything to do with them. You know how I feel about that. To my youngest daughter and her husband, I just want to come there New Year's Eve. I want to have a celebration and be around the kids and your family and anybody else who wants to be there except for them, and then New Year's Day celebrate the new year together.
Okay. So what is the problem, though? I need you to tell us the problem you want us to help with.
Right.
What is that problem?
We had been planning all to get together at our house like we always have for New Year's Day. And so I said, so we're not coming here. We're going to your house to my son-in-law and my daughter. And they said, well, you're not coming. You're not invited. He doesn't want you guys there. And okay. We
okay,
have
so,
been,
so like, what is the question then for
so
us?
I said, how do I react to that? So I said, what do you mean? You know, I thought you guys weren't going to be a part of that when he started this last June separation. You know, like all of this fractured stuff isn't of God. You guys know that. You go to church. I mean, blah, blah, blah. What do you mean? We're not invited?
So, Karen, what you're saying is
the door was just slammed in our face.
Yeah.
Karen,
the door was slammed in our face, and it says he doesn't want you there. He deserves some time without you and Roger there, and that's the end of it.
Karen.
And
Becky, your mic isn't quite on, and so I'm going to have you fix that, and then Jill can.
I think Becky and I are both trying to maybe summarize here that your ex-husband and partner join in on holidays with you and new husband and all the kids, right? But because of your ex-husband's reaction to new husband, now there's this division.
Reaction to a comment that he made to my daughter being disrespectful to me at our home.
Right. Okay, so now daughter is joining with her dad.
It's a different daughter.
Okay.
The daughter he made the remark to is absolutely, doesn't even affect her at all.
Okay.
She's like everybody says and does things they don't mean.
Okay.
The new daughter's husband, mostly.
Okay, so.
She goes along with whatever the husband says. The young daughter's husband.
Okay, so we want to help you here. It's a little complicated, but it sounds like that since your husband said this thing, that there's been this big split, right?
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
To my
and
oldest
so
daughter.
Is the question, how do we help you, or what is the best thing you could do to resolve that split or heal that split? Would that be helpful to you?
Well, yes, but the big thing is my son-in-law, who we have been there for buying a house, helping him with everything, monetarily, time-wise, never asking for one thing in return, but a little respect, has slammed the door on us on New Year's Eve and day with all of the rest of the family.
So let's hear from Becky and Jill about what they think might be most helpful.
Well,
Becky,
Karen,
you want to get us?
Okay.
Yeah. So sorry about my mic before, but Karen, here's the thing. You've been hurt and it's overwhelming you because it's you guys have had this family connection for years and now all of a sudden one thing happens and all the dominoes are falling. I think that you're going to have to manage this with, you're going to have to work with just your son-in-law and your daughter in reconnecting, recognizing that what was once all together happy and all that is no longer. But how to resolve that is to recognize your feelings with him. I'm just curious, since they slammed the door in your face, you did do that. Okay, and then what was the result of that?
Oh, sorry you feel like that. That's just the way it is. It's not about you all the time. It's not about we can have anybody here we want without including you. It was just such a disrespectful demeanor from my son-in-law. Mm-hmm. My daughter just didn't say a word because she defers to him all the time. Like, he's the man of the house. He's a Christian. They go to church. They actually asked him to be a leader, you know, like in his church at one point. You know what I mean?
So Karen, I agree. This is very, very hurtful. And you've had an unusual situation to begin with. I mean, it's highly unusual that you have the ex and their new partner and all of you together. So that's been a good thing.
Oh, there were hugs and Easter breads and
I know. And so it feels like so much loss with your son-in-law's reaction. I think sometimes there's so many players involved, it can come across very confusing, and we're even trying to sort out all of this. Sometimes it's best to go to the people directly, and I know you've tried, but your husband, maybe meeting with your son-in-law. And looking,
he did.
Okay, he did do that. But looking at what else, this reaction seems like an overreaction. So there must be other things built up. Here you've been very helpful to him, but I wonder if in some ways he's felt a little emasculated, right? Even though he's needed the help. And so there's a reason why he's feeling the need to assert himself now. And so I think a little more curiosity, asking him how you may have hurt him in other ways, and that you're, you know,
we did. And all he kept saying is, no hurt in other ways. We appreciate everything you've done with the kids and babysitting and helping out and blah, blah, blah. You know, it's our house. We can have anybody we want.
Sure,
and
they
we don't
can.
Need to
but
check
it's
with
confusing
you.
That all of a sudden there's been a shift. And that's what you're trying to explore. And then I wonder about your.
And he goes,
I wonder about your current husband even meeting, and maybe the two of you meet with your ex-husband. And his partner, and say, you know, we've had this unusually great situation, and now it's all unraveling,
and we need some help here. We also reached out via text because I didn't think a phone call would give a good result that they could think about it.
I'm talking about in person. What if you met in person?
They live in a different state, so.
Okay.
It's hard to always meet.
But you guys.
I mean, they're over an hour away.
Okay.
But we reached out in text and said, can we talk? And there was no response. And he told my older daughter, tell them to leave us alone. We don't want anything to do with them.
Wow.
Wow. Very hurtful.
Very. So I do think.
I mean, I think that I expected something like that from him because he's always been up and down in his whole dysfunctional family.
But
my
I'm going to ask you to think about something. I'm going to ask you to think about something.
Yeah. Sure.
Jill brought up the issue that there are probably other things.
Mm-hmm.
And so why don't you take a minute and think about what other thing added to this could have led to
with
this.
With my son-in-law?
Exactly.
With all of the people.
And with your ex, with the son-in-law.
No,
your daughter. But here's the thing. Wait, Karen, I know you're trying to get a lot out and tell us things in this phone call, but even in this phone call, I'm feeling a little bit of a resistance to listening and taking things in. And I think with the people around, instead of putting out your interpretation of things, I think we need to often be curious and hear how other people see things. You don't have to believe it's right, but it's still their perspective. And unless you can hear how they're viewing things, you're not going to get to what's really going on.
I absolutely agree. And I did ask Anna and Pete, the son-in-law and my youngest daughter, what is going on here?
Right.
I don't understand why that kind of reaction.
Right. Help me understand what it's like to be on the receiving end of me in this relationship that you feel the need to push me away. I really want to grow here.
Right.
Becky, do you have a thought or two here
I'm thinking, Karen, my one question is, have you had outside help? Whether it's a counselor, a pastor, somebody. You have not?
Yeah, we go to a small group. We go to a small group. We've been part of a church.
Okay, wait. Okay,
group.
Listen.
We vacation.
Listen, I'm for you. I'm for you.
Yeah, we're
I'm just trying
you.
To understand it. Okay, I'm talking about clinical help because here's what I said earlier. There's grief that comes into this shock of being rejected like you have from the son-in-law.
Right.
And it uncovers a lot of pain that may not even be related to this, and it just is so confusing. And I think that will be a great next step. You have done everything that you can by reaching out to all of them, and essentially they've shut the door over and over, and it's heartbreaking. And if you sit with a counselor or a coach, they can help you get some way forward. So that this doesn't go on for another 6 months, that you can get some clarity and some understanding. That's what I would suggest.
Yeah. All right.
Well,
I did
talk to someone, but they don't want to discuss it any further.
Well, hold on. We've got to go to a break here. You're listening to New Life Live, 1-800-229-3000, if you want to join us here. Also, if you need some help, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll be back after this.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, and we're talking with Karen here, and And Becky has some things just to finish up with Karen.
Well, Karen, you said at the very end, hold on, there's a little kickback here on the mic. One of the things that you said was that the family or the person that you talked to didn't want to talk about it anymore. When I was talking
Hold on just a second, Becky. You fix the mic. I'll have Jill make a comment, and then we'll come right back to
right.
You.
And so, Karen, if someone, first of all, that doesn't sound like a clinical person who would say that. But if someone is saying that to you, that's an invitation for you to look at you. Why are people shutting you down? What is going on? And so you've tried all these wonderful things, and you've told us all the things that you've done. They're all great. But when those things aren't working, instead of defending them, you need to look at, they're not working. Maybe I need to take a step back and take it to a whole nother level.
Yeah.
And I think there needs to be some reflection and paradigm shifts here for you to be able to reengage with your family in a different way. So all you can do is work on you. So even if they're more of the problem, you got to work on you, and you have to be open at looking at the fact that you may not be doing it as well as you feel like you are.
And that's the big problem is that, let me just say this. The big problem is when the other person is such a big target and we have a little target to work on, we still have to work on our target, but they don't like, no matter what. Becky, go ahead.
Well, and what I was going to say along the same lines as what Jill's saying is that when we are facing an issue and the help that we reach out to either shuts us down or it's not working for us, that doesn't mean that we're done finding the help that we need. It just means that that wasn't the right help. And so I want you to think to Karen, I want you to think about what does resolution look like? If your resolution in your mind is that we're all going to go back to where we were, you know, everybody was great and we all did everything together, you may be disappointed. Now things will never go back to that. Now, it doesn't mean that you can't have reconciliation, but it looks different. The relationships will be different. The trust has been broken and there's a lot of hurt that's going to have to be healed. But that will require outside help, like what Jill talked about. And we can connect you with somebody. I want to encourage you because so many people will do that. They'll go to somebody, they'll run into a dead end, and then that will be the stopgap. And we want you to get where you have peace and security in those relationships and know how to deal with that.
What do you think would be a good resource for Karen, either of you?
Well, I actually was thinking healing is a choice, Steve.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was thinking, too.
Oh, all right, good.
We're going to send that. We'll send that. And hope and pray that something there is going to help you. There are 10 different choices that many people take those choices and find that one of them or several of them together move them closer to a point of healing, and that's what we want for you. All right, if you need any help, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. To join us on this program, it's 1-800-229-3000. Before we go to Ann from Knoxville, I just want to mention that our Club New Life really is an amazing organization of people that are the backbone of everything we do. And we're doing our first Club New Life Zoom, and that's going to be January 16th, and Becky is going to be presenting on change. And I don't know if you've noticed, but the world is changing just a little bit. And we are so grateful for you Club New Life members, all of you that donated last year. And we have a special offer in January. It's the one-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional. And we'll send that to you if you give a gift of any amount. And if you join Club New Life, we'll send you, many of you have seen it on the YouTube channel, these amazing devotionals, 100 days of freedom, 100 days of healing, 100 days of character. I'm going through that in my first 100 days of this year, 100 days of character. They're just really wonderful devotional books. But if you've never been part of Club New Life, how about make this the year you give it a try? I don't think that you'll be disappointed if you come and join the others in Club New Life. Now let's go to Ann in Knoxville, Tennessee. SiriusXM Satellite Radio comes on at noon her time on channel 131. Ann, welcome to New Life Live. How can we help you today?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a 41-year-old son that hasn't spoken to me since April. Not the first time he's done this. Usually there's something that triggers him. He doesn't speak for a couple of months, and then he comes back when there's a crisis, and it's never discussed. It's like never happened. We're just going to move on like always. This has been the longest time, and it involves, you know, the whole family at this point. He's married for the second time, has three stepdaughters, one away at college now. My grandson, his son, is 16. His mother left when he was two. He has autism spectrum, reactive attachment disorder. He's got a pornography problem that he's had since he was like six. Anger issues. Got in a lot of trouble stealing and doing a lot of things that resulted in me having to drive 30 miles every day to pick him up after school until his stepmother got off work because there was no place he could go. And what I think facilitated this is the day my son stopped speaking to me, I had picked him up and his counselor was there, and she was kind of clueless about some of the things that were going on, and I was like, you need the whole story here. And then when we got to my house, he got upset about something and he reared back his fist to swing at me.
Wow.
And so
okay.
When his stepmother got there, I'm like, just go.
We'll hear more right after this. Today's podcast is brought to you by Club New Life supporters who give a monthly donation because they want to continue to offer help and hope in these very, very difficult places. To find out more about Club New Life, you can go to our website, newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, if you're new to us, we drop an episode every weekday. We would love it if you would rate or write a review, which helps more people discover help and hope, and helps us share wisdom with as many people as possible. Now let's listen to our counselors as they help people walk through life's hardest places.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. So, Ann, as you think about this, what are you hoping we could tell you to do or suggest or remedy for you?
Okay, so they've found a facility to place my grandson in for treatment. I don't know where it is.
Okay.
I don't know whether I should try to locate him. I thought about trying it. I think I know where he might be. But then I feel like if I do that, you know, that's going to put even more distance with me and my son. But in the meantime, my grandson is gone from me. The three step-granddaughters are gone. Two younger children that are cousins. You know, the whole extended family is just gone. I don't know whether to just call it quits and move on with my life or try to find my grandson. I'm not really sure what the next step is.
Okay. Well, let's hear from Becky first and then Jill. What do you think? So,
and
is it her job to track him down?
I think it's really sad, Anne, that this has all gone on. Mm-hmm. And you're saying that this happened back in April, and you haven't had any conversation with him since then, right?
Right. It happened in April, and the additional issue is that he's got about $10,000 on four of my credit cards. He continued making the payments by sending cash to me through his wife until August, and now he has stopped that. And if I mention it to her, she's like, it's between you and him. So he's pulled her back away from me as well as everybody else.
All right. So, Ann, and you haven't talked to him, you have not communicated with him at all since then?
I've texted him. I've left messages. He doesn't respond.
Okay. Well,
early on, when I would text him things, he would respond through his wife. She would contact me. Mm-hmm. But now I get nothing from him and very little from her.
All right. So you're in a serious situation. I wouldn't say to quit. You haven't done everything possible yet. I would say that he is overwhelmed. If he's that much in debt, if his son is in treatment, if, you know, he's had all of this disruption. And yes, you were helpful and you were, you know, part of the process. But I think people get into places where they're just overwhelmed. They don't even know what to do. And I would, if you haven't already talked to a professional, you've got some debt with him there. You know, you can have, I mean, this sounds threatening, but it's like somebody's got to have a conversation. And even saying to him, do you want me to quit being in your life? Or like, how are we going to resolve this? And I don't know if, are you still married to his dad or where is dad in the picture?
No, his dad left when they were young. Dad was on wife number 7 when he died. So I pretty much raised him and his brother by myself. And his dad has since passed away as well.
And has his brother been in touch with him? Like, is there any connection between you and his brother and him?
Not much. I'm pretty close to the other one, and they don't really speak. There was a divide between them as children due to their dad and my mother. So they've never really been close.
And there are ways for you to stay connected with the kids, even if the adults aren't part of the conversation in the meantime. But I do think that you're going to have a third party get some clarity about what is the expectation of repayment of debt, what is the expectation of reconnection with the family. But I don't think it's time to quit yet.
Well, you never quit or give up. But and sometimes we have to face what we are able to do. Him pulling away after your grandson tried to assault you, I agree with Becky that there's probably a lot of overwhelm and upset and maybe some upset that things were told that they weren't ready to speak out loud. And so I think you trying to track down the grandson, he's underage. So I don't know that that's the wisest route to go. I'm wondering about your other grandkids. And if you are able to have any texting or contact with them. And I would continue to periodically reach out to both son and wife. And maybe you just text them together, right? And so there's accountability for what is said. And just continue to invite him into relationship that you want to hear his hurt and upset. At you, if you are part of that, or you want to be able to come alongside him if life has become so overwhelming.
Yes, and here's a thought I want to throw into the mix, and anyone, it's okay to argue this point, but I'm wondering this debt, if he can't pay the debt, you're probably not going to have any kind of reconciliation with him, or he's not going to want to have contact with you knowing that he owes you the money and he's not paying you the money. And he probably just can't be that person that says, I can't do it. He just quit. So I had some advice a long time ago that you never ever loan your kids money. You give them a gift and hope that one day they might decide to pay it back, and probably won't. But that this debt thing can really stand in the way. And so someone might say, well, if you tell him you don't owe me that money anymore, that's kind of enabling and not healthy. On the other hand, we don't have all the time in the world here.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And you might want to tell him, you don't expect to be paid back, that it's a gift from you, and see if that produces anything. It might not, but then again, in 6 months, he may have a little breakthrough there, and that's not hanging over his head. What do you think about that kind of approach? Would that be something you'd consider or not?
Yeah, because, I mean, people are like, oh, what are you going to do? I'm like, I'm going to pay the credit cards. It's just money. I'll make more, you know. But, you know, I heard what you said to someone else earlier, the earlier caller, about was her son-in-law feeling emasculated by the help. Mm-hmm. And They lived in my house. They rented my house for me for 3 years before they purchased it, and they purchased it a year ago. And the way we got through the purchase was the mortgage company took it at full value, which was three times what I paid for it and not at all what I wanted to sell it to him for. But they did it so that they could reduce the price, and it was a gift of equity as his down payment.
Yeah.
So since that was all part of the loan and way more than I expected to get, when the house closed, we sat down together and looked at his car loan and her bills and his bills, and I took about $30,000 of that money and cleared everything except these four credit cards, which at the time were pay in and these installments interest free. And it was, he was like, "Well, we're using their money. Let's keep making those payments and not, you know."
Yeah.
That's what we did. So I'm just wondering, after that whole thing, to now excuse another $10,000, is that also going to make him feel worse?
No, right. I think I love the idea, Steve, though, because because unlike what I said, where you're talking about the debt, it's like the father of the prodigal son. You and your intention is to be connected with him, and to set the record straight as far as the debt goes allows you the opportunity. Whether he feels emasculated, he probably feels emasculated now because he owes you money.
Right.
And so you're just clearing it. You're like, look, that's in the past. Let's start from here.
But I wonder if you might start with the conversation asking him that you're wondering if the debt is possibly getting in the way of him being able to connect with you. If there's an upset around the debt or feelings of shame or fear of not being able to pay it back, right? And that this, you know, helping them, in no way did you want to put him in a position where he felt trapped or unable to move forward in your relationship. So let's have another conversation about how we might deal with that differently.
Yeah.
So instead of just texting him that you've forgiven him, right? The money. Like, use it to spark conversation.
You know, I
go ahead.
He's gotten a raise and he's doing really well. Hmm. When he quit talking to me, it was over the grandson. It was several months later that he just stopped paying the bills.
Right.
So I don't know what his problem is with not talking to me. Is it the bills? Is it the grandson? Is it
right?
You know,
you're confused.
I got the house, now I don't need you. Yeah. I don't know.
Right.
Well, I'll tell you, it is kind of an epidemic of these adult children. Just all of a sudden, they don't want to talk to parents anymore. It's like we're not giving them the right kind of skills to repair things.
No, we're not teaching about legacy, right, and generations. And
I'll send Ann, Doing Life with Your
Jim's
Adult
book. Mm-hmm.
Children, Jim's book, and hope that will be helpful to her. I hope and pray that if you have adult children, that before you spend time with them, they come over, you go there, that you really think about how fragile some of these relationships are, because you want to keep it going.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, and I just want to take some time to talk about how do you stay connected to these adult children? What's your best hope? Because it is kind of epidemic that parents are being cut off from grandchildren. Or just like this, somebody just decides not going to pay you back, not going to talk to you, don't want you around.
Well, and some of it, Steve, can I just interject that
There
is, I think, the greater culture of cutting things out that we don't like or agree with. Right.
Yeah.
So there's less tolerance in that way. And so people are living in more of a split world where we make things all good or all bad. And under the guise of I'm setting boundaries and I'm protecting myself, instead of learning how do we stay in relationship, how do we work through conflict and difficulties, how do we say no to a parent without cutting them out?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I
think we've we've become a culture where it is the other's responsibility for our feelings, as opposed to dealing with and doing something with the feelings, being vulnerable, having honest conversations, not in reaction, but in, you know, I want to understand more. But, you know, in the parenting challenge is you need to be done parenting. That's what, you know, we've talked about that a lot, where it's like you're not parenting a 41-year-old. You become an adult in relationship. Yes, you're the parent. You gave birth to them, but it's not the same relationship.
Not the same. Very good. Okay, I just want to say this. Don't do something that the kids tell you not to do. Don't, you know, if you've got the grandkids over at your house, don't do things. Give them things that they ask you not to do. And then comply with some of their wishes. Don't be controlled by your adult kids. All of this you can find wisdom in Jim Burns' book, Doing Life with Our Adult Children. We'll go to our final caller from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, also a listener on Sirius XM, satellite radio channel 131, 1 p.m. Eastern, and this is Yvonne. Hi, Yvonne. Welcome, and we don't have much time, but I wanted to get to your call. How could we help?
Well, my question is... I'm in the Word a lot, and I am a Christian, and my question is, I'm kind of not understanding man's free will that God has given to man. I have been having serious abuse issues from some neighbors behind me.
Really?
They're very famous or well-known in the area, and the police, they look the other way, and in the beginning, there was a lot of calls and reports against me, and then I would call when they did things, and that didn't work. So I started praying for their salvation. There doesn't seem to be any changes in them. They've tried to have me arrested because I put Jesus' name on my property, terroristic threat they put against me for having his name there, and charged me with false charges and fines. And I pray for their salvation, and as a Christian and as a widow, I'm not understanding the free will that man is given. Is it to a point where God just moves back and takes his hand off of it? I've cried out to the Lord to deliver me from it. It has affected me.
Okay, let me ask you a question real quick. How did you display Jesus on your property that is so upsetting to them?
Well, he tore down all my property pins.
No, but
Hold on.
You say they live behind you.
What
did you do in displaying the name of Jesus? What was that form did that take that they don't like?
The man who surveyed it put pink ribbons around it, and I put Jesus' name on each four corners of my property. It's as big as my pinky finger. They filed charges. They sent a private sergeant down in a black car. He said he had two charges. One, to file charges that I was filing the name of Jesus Christ. They wanted to remove. The second charge, they charged me $12,000 fine. He proclaimed I broke his pens down, and it's all lies.
Okay, so let me say this, Yvonne. I would do... Given that you've got law enforcement working against you for whatever reason, I would not do the things that are causing conflict.
Okay.
Because you don't have to. And your life is much, much more important, the way you live, than the name of Jesus on four posts. That's the first thing. The second thing is, God does give us free will. And so he's not going to impose his free will on those people.
Okay.
He's not going to step in and for your sake make them choose to be good. Because that's not free will. And sometimes the free will of other people is used to hurt us. And it is tragic. You know, the free will of one person gets drunk, drives fast, and kills someone we love in a car wreck. It would be so great if that weren't the way it was, but all of us have to experience those consequences because God wants us to choose him, not be forced to choose him. Jill or Becky, any thoughts on this for her?
Well, I think sometimes we need to be Jesus-like in our demeanor and our behavior. I love that you're praying for them when they've been so angry and hostile towards you. And we don't have to, I mean, I agree, like you want to be neighborly. So what's going to be neighborly, right? We're going to be sensitive to other people's limitations or offenses, right? Yeah. And so you're not going to go out of your way to provoke them, even if you feel justified and have a right to, right? You want to preserve relationship. And people are won through relationship, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Not by you, you know, putting up signs saying Jesus. Right.
I like to intercede just for a second. I did. They did tear everything down, and I never bothered in a few years. I have not put that back up again.
Okay.
I left it alone.
I mean, I love your heart, but at the same time, that's not the way that's going to work in their hearts, right? And I would just ask the Lord to guide your steps and your actions and your words, right, in how to be a better neighbor.
Well,
Becky, you have
just
a thought?
Yeah, I just wonder, Yvonne, are you safe where you are? Do you feel like you're safe? Because if you feel like the police are not representing you well, that's a whole different thing. And, you know, it can be very disconcerting, very disruptive in our lives when we don't feel safe at home. And so I don't know if you have a community of friends or family that have spoken to you about this, or you know, talk to them about it. But I would evaluate, is this the place for me to stay? Not because you're running away, but it's literally, you know, if they're coming at you with that kind of vengeance over something like that, that's really, it's just troublesome. And I would want you to be safe.
Okay. All right. Let me send you a copy of the 1 year Bible for women. My wife did that. I hope that will be a blessing to you. I'm really sorry for all that's going on there. Mm-hmm. So, and being a widow, and it just feels so helpless. I want to close with a scripture. It's right out of James 1:18. It says, "Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creature." We are the first fruits of all the creatures that God created. We're the best. He did. Now let's go live like that. Let's love like that. I don't know of any reason to be mean to somebody today. I know a lot of reasons to love them. Thank you, Becky. Thank you, Jill. Thanks to all of you who listen, watch, pray, and support us. 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you need help or can help us. Thanks so much for listening. We hope something you heard will help you live in freedom today. If this content was helpful for you, we would love it if you'd take a minute, leave us a review, post about it, and rate it. Remember, we have resources and workshops online for you as you continue your journey. Go to newlife.com and find out more information. And thank you for being part of the New Life community. We know that God desires all of us to live a life of wholeness and healing. And we're so glad that you're here.